So I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about my job history up until this point. And I figured, like, maybe this will help to explain it. So at the top, I try to go kind of like along the timeline. Up in the top, we have Shoal Mowers, LLC. Started working there in seventh grade and worked at Shoal Mowers, LLC until my junior year of college. During that time, I had a stint at Rita's Italian Ice in downtown Herndon, which has since closed, which is such a shame, but ate lots of free ice there, and that might be one of the reasons they went out of business. After graduating Herndon, I went back to the high school and coached wrestling for 2 years, which was a ton of fun, and got to coach my younger brothers there. Then went to Virginia Tech, and while I was there, I had a really random job, and I had to look up the company yesterday. It was called Infield Promotions. They would come to like college football games and do like promotional events for Hyundai car, like the car company. And so I like randomly got a job with them and would like do promotional stuff at Virginia Tech football games. And then finally, an internship at Capital One while I was in college. And since then, I have been at Capital One. So graduated in 2014, and have been at the company for about 5 years now, and have had multiple roles there. So more to come on what that exactly looks like, but I thought I'd throw a few pictures up. On the far left, we have Shoal Mowers, LLC, with young Daniel right there. On the right, coaching Herndon Wrestling, and then down the bottom, that was my intern class at Capital One. So now that you guys know a little bit about me, my background, we're going to kind of go and set some context for what work is. And I see my wife smiling over there because she always tells me I give too much context. But before I tell you guys how God is working in my work and has been working in my work, I want you guys to understand what God says about work. So we're going to start from the beginning, and you guys can follow along with me. Got some sheets on your table. Got some fill in the blanks. So hopefully this keeps you guys engaged here. So we're starting with, where did work come from? If we look at the Bible, in the very beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning, there was work. It's interesting how basic this is, but how important it is to the rest of the Bible. In that work, we see that there are 6 days of creation. God spends time creating light and time, the sky and separating waters, earth, sea, vegetation, sun, moon, stars, birds, animals, land, and then finally humans. And what is interesting here is that God could have, from the beginning, just snapped his fingers and said, there it is, absolutely everything, fully developed, and just moved on. But we see that God intentionally spends time working in a methodical way to create our planet and life here in the universe in general. And what's interesting in these, in the first two chapters of Genesis, as it's talking about God's creative work, it uses these two words in the Old Testament for labor. And one of those words, the first one, is a very raw manual labor. So like hands-on, unskilled, you're in the garden planting those, like all the vegetation, everything. And then the other word that they use for labor is, defines it, a skilled labor. So they would use this to refer to like artisans or master craftsmen, people that are doing more intellectual work and refined work. So you see God from the very beginning doing both kinds of work, and why that is important, we'll come back to later in this sermon. Another thing to consider here is that God started the universe with work, okay? And it wasn't something that happened after the fall. When we think about work in general, it's usually a pretty like negative connotation, like I have to work, work to live, you know, work to play. But we see that God started everything with that, and it was at the fall that sin ends up corrupting what work is, the intention of work, and makes work a lot harder. When God says that Adam will have to labor and fight against the ground to produce anything, or that Eve will have pains in child labor, like that's where we see the negative connotation coming in. So just one thing to note, work was a part of paradise. So next question, we want to ask ourselves is, if God created work, that's where it came from, why did God work? So the first one is that he worked because he found delight in the work of his creation. At the end of those 7 days, when he's resting, he looks back and he says, it was very good. I think all of us can identify with this to a certain extent. I think everyone can stop and think of like one moment in their life where they did something really, really well, and they stopped and were like, man, that was good. And I think like humans in general, we are drawn to that little piece of perfection. That's why, you know, SportsCenter Top 10 is always a go-to every morning. People love it. That's why Dude Perfect on Snapchat has their own channel, and people like Allie love watching them like hit that amazing shot over and over and over again. There's something that we can identify with something being done well. The next is that he worked so that he could provide for his creation. When we look through the story here, he starts with creating man. Then he plants and waters a garden for him. Then he puts him in the garden and gives him a job. And after that, he fashions a wife or a helper for him. And as you look at the Bible, the rest of that Bible just continues describing God's work of providence, being a provider. He provides through us, for us physically. He provides for us spiritually by sending his son. He cares for us. You just look throughout the entire Bible and you see how he's continuing to provide for us in so many different levels. And then the last one is to set an example for his creation. So he tells us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. One thing to consider here is the word subdue. So we talked about God creating the world, how he methodically did one action after another. He did manual labor and intellectual skilled labor. And when he tells us to subdue, the implication here is that God created the world, but it was still to a large degree undeveloped. And God left creation with a deep, untapped potential for cultivation that we as humans and people were to continue carrying out. So God starts that work. He gives us an example of doing that labor and then invites us to join in with it and actually commissions us to continue that through subduing the world. So that's kind of where that's just our level setting. Where did work come from? Why did God do it? And then the last point here I want to make before we move into why it's important is the dignity of work. So I mentioned before those two words that the Old Testament uses to describe the type of labor that God does when he's creating the earth, how it's both manual and intellectual. And unfortunately, throughout history, we see this negative reputation attached to work, a negative stigma. If you look back to like ancient Egyptians and like the caste system, you see the social structure that is literally just on the bottom, the people that have to do the really crappy manual jobs. And at the top, you have Pharaoh or king or ruler that sits and does nothing but, you know, make decisions and eat good food and all that kind of stuff. And the Greek philosophy and social structure, like all the Greek philosophers considered work to be the lowliest thing ever. They thought that the gods lived in this golden age and they created humans just to work so that the gods could enjoy themselves and not have to do anything. And so they hated the idea of work, and their whole social structure was, if you can be a philosopher, if you can be someone in government or the Senate, like you've beaten the game, and there needs to be these people that do the mundane work so that I, as like an intellectual or better person, can live a more fulfilling life. So the two ideas is that work is this necessary evil, and that low status or low paying jobs are an assault or an affront on our dignity. And I like how Tim Keller says in his book, he says, work has dignity because it is something that God does and because we do it in God's place as his representatives. And I think the Bible does this intentionally to show us the types of work that God does early on and give us freedom and flexibility in our lives to know that whether I'm mowing grass or creating designs for the iPhone, you know, like both are dignified, both have meaning, and both ultimately contribute to the larger good and serve the community around us. So last section here, the importance of work. So work helps us to discover who we are, develop skills, and prepare for the future. And if you jump on Google and you do a search, you can find so many studies that are centered around why work is important, how it enables us to grow, how we need it physically, emotionally, intellectually, all this stuff. Work gives us this unique opportunity that we don't have typically in our day-to-day lives at home or at school or in the sports that we're doing. It confronts you with situations that challenge you and force you to grow. It puts you in front of difficult customers that you have to learn, like, how do I deal with this person and without like yelling at them or losing their service? How do I take responsibility when I do something wrong? You're developing skills, so soft skills. You're developing hard skills, like, how do I use PowerPoint? How do I put together like a presentation that matters and convey business value to someone? All this stuff that you're going to have to use in the future. So ultimately, like, these soft skills, these hard skills, these experiences are preparing you for what's down the road. And it's through this, like, this act of working that we come to understand a lot about ourselves, our abilities, our gifts, natural talents, which are all things that end up becoming a major part of our identities. Next, it's part of our design. So this is something that we take for granted a lot, but if you stop and look around your day-to-day life, if you look at your iPhone, if you look at your car, whatever it might be, it's the simple truth that everything works best when it's used as it's designed. So I think, like, I'm sure people have seen, like, memes or GIFs of, like, people downloading an iPhone app and it's a picture of, like, a hammer on the phone, and, like, the idea of, like, you use your phone and the picture of the hammer to hammer in a nail. Obviously, like, that doesn't work. But it's funny because people are foolish sometimes and buy into that stuff. But you look at, like, an iPhone, it works best when you use it as it was designed. If you look at a car, like, it works when it has oil in it, as it was designed. When you look at society, society works when people follow the law and follow the rules, and there's some sort of order there. So just like there's rules that govern those things, there's a design for our life. And you look back at God's design with man early on, work is part of that design. It's one of the few things that humans can do and take in significant doses without harm. The Bible talks about how God spends 6 days working and then one day resting. It doesn't give you this equal split. There's no 50-50. It doesn't tell you, like, work for this time period and then you're done. It's this constant cycle of work and rest. And it's really that leads to a healthy life. It's a basic human need, as much as food, beauty, rest, friendship, prayer, sexuality. It's not simply medicine, but food for our soul. And without meaningful work, we sense significant inner loss and emptiness. And this is true when you look at people that have, like, been injured or have left the workforce and are unable to work. You see this inner loss in them. And I think I have it up on the slide. Just looking at those people that can no longer work but have the desire to work, you see that they have higher rates of physical and mental health problems. They're taking more medication, more prone to addiction, and they have a proven shorter life expectancy. And just crazy to think all that is associated with work and not being able to do it. There's also this idea, like, I think that we never consider this in some marginalized communities, like, the importance of work. So people that we don't typically consider in the workforce, like people who have been injured or people like elderly people or people with special needs or disabilities. And it's this last group that I think we do a disservice to. And there was a man and his wife, Jay and Barbara Belding. Jay and Barbara were both had master's degrees in education. They were both teachers. They both worked in special education. And Jay had been doing it for a long time and was just frustrated by working with these students and seeing them grow and mature and learn and then graduate and get into the world and have no opportunity to work or to give back. And they were just living these lives that were mundane and unfulfilling, and he could see, like, how it was affecting them. So he and his wife decided that they were going to try and solve this problem. And in 1977, they founded a nonprofit called the Associated Production Services. And what that company does is it's a vocational training facility for developmentally disabled adults. Today, they train and employ close to 600 people a year who are engaged in packaging and shipping for companies all across our country. Their goal, personally, is to create a culture where all personnel can be intimate, part of a viable missional effort in which they feel valued, respected, and appreciated. An environment that is inclusive and rewarding, both financially and emotionally. So they found these people that were really underserved and kind of forgotten by society. Society said, well, we will take care of you and give you what you need, and then you'll be happy. Just missing the big picture that just because they had special needs might not be able to do all work that everyone else does, doesn't mean they didn't need work at all. And so their association, their services has been recognized by the government in our country and other countries. It's gained just so much positive press because of the difference that it's made in this community. Last one in this section, it's how we serve God and serve others. So in the Old Testament, we have the design for work. We see why God works. We see God setting up work in Adam's life. But we go into the New Testament, and we see Paul talking to the church of Corinth. So he's writing to these new believers and consulting them that when they become Christians, it isn't necessary for them to change everything in their life. So they don't need to be changing their vocation. They don't need to change their marital status if their spouse is not a Christian. They don't need to get a new job or step into a different position in society. He's making the point that you can serve God in whatever you're doing. And he uses these two words for calling that are most often used for when the Bible talks about being called into a relationship with Christ or being called into like missions or serving in a religious vocation. And he uses that same word to talk about the calling of their everyday work, their everyday job. He says, only let each person live the life the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. And so what stands out to me here, in combination of everything we've been looking at so far, with how God designed work, how there's dignity in all work, and how ultimately it gives us the ability to serve God and serve others, it takes a lot of pressure off of us. And as you guys are preparing for your future and going through high school and college and eventually like considering jobs, it gives you guys the flexibility to not just ask the question, what's going to make me the most money or give me the most prestige or the most flashy status. It gives you flexibility to say, how with my existing abilities, talents, and opportunities, can I be of the greatest service to both God and the community? Which is just, it's something that like our society doesn't value, but I think it's just this awesome concept of the freedom that we have in God's design and being able to serve him and serve the world around us. And the very last point I want to make here to you guys, after going through all of this, is that work is not everything. So we see that it's really hard to live a meaningful life without work, but work is not the meaning of your life. And I just want to encourage you guys that to be considering, and if you haven't already, like the most important thing in life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the foundation that everything should be built on. And with that relationship with Jesus Christ, it empowers you to do so much more. And it really changes your ability to work and to make a difference in this world. But if you guys have never stopped to consider, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I would invite you guys to do that today. And there's so many people here, so many leaders and other students that can tell you personally of their relationship and how it's changed their life. So if you're ever curious, I would encourage you guys to talk to them today after this session, or even come talk to me. I would love to just explain to you how I've seen a change in my life. So that's just something I want to leave you guys with on the design of work. It's super important. It helps you to live a fulfilling, meaningful life, but ultimately it's not everything. All right, so we're going to go back to my story. And I tried putting some slides together but didn't finish, so I will do my best to kind of walk you guys through everything that's going on here. So I told you guys, I started working at Shoal Mowers in 2005. And it's funny to say that because like everyone knows the kid in the neighborhood that mows the neighbor's lawn and gets paid a few bucks. And that's how the business started with my older brothers. But it ended up growing and growing. And so we had to incorporate it. And I think at our peak, we had like 60 lawns we were doing a week, had like all the professional equipment, all that stuff. So did that from seventh grade through junior year of college. And I tried to kind of outline here what I learned in each of these jobs and then connecting it to my future. So Shoal Mowers, learned a lot about time management. Like I said, we had almost 60 lawns to do a week. So we had to schedule out like how are we going to group them together? When are we going to do it? How do we change when it rains? All that kind of stuff. Customer service, like I think people care about two things a lot in Northern Virginia. They care about success and they care about their lawn. And so like working with a lot of wealthy individuals in Northern Virginia was not always an easy task. Motivating team members. And when I say team members, I mean younger brothers. Because, you know, it would be July 4th week and all your friends are hitting the pool. You want to go just hang, but we have 30 lawns we got to do. So like, let's wake up early, go out there in the sunshine all day and push a lawnmower around. So not always the happiest crew, but learned a lot about that. And then I'd say like the other two, like attention to detail. So like I said, people care about their lawns a lot. And if you miss one little blade of grass somewhere, or if you run over a light in their lawn, which happened quite a bit, like they care. And so you have to start caring about those small details and make sure it is all coming together. And then the last one is just was embracing the grind. It was not fun. Like we would run from March until October almost every year. So you'd start during school, you'd mow through the summer in the heat, then you'd go back to school. A lot of times we were playing sports, so we'd have school, we'd have practice, we'd go mow, we'd like do it all weekend, and it's just repeating over and over and over again, you know, for how many years? A long time, like 6 years, 7 years. So it's just the idea of like, sometimes there's work that must be done and no one else is going to do it except for you, so learn to embrace the grind. At Rita's, I learned more about customer service. I learned about how delicious mango ice is in the back room. I learned how to work with difficult bosses, more attention to detail, and excelling in the mundane. So scooping ice cream and scooping ice, like, pretty mundane. But there's those little things that, like, you can see the employee that doesn't care. They're spilling stuff everywhere. They like hand a cup to a customer that's dripping, like all that kind of stuff. So it's like the little details, like the mundane stuff that over time actually matters. So just learning that. And then Herndon High School. So being a wrestling coach and having graduated 2010 and then going back that winter and being a coach. And so working with all these students that were really not that much younger than me, but being able to lead by example. So meaning I was out on the mats with them wrestling. I was running sprints. I was doing the workouts with them, motivating them because wrestling season sucks. Like most kids are not eating. It's dark. You wake up in the morning. It's dark. You go to school. Then you go to practice. You go out of practice. It's dark. It's super depressing. So if there's any wrestlers in the room, I feel for you. Keep your head up. And then just like this was the first time I really had responsibility for others, meaning like I had a bus full of freshmen and sophomore boys and had to take them to a school and make sure that no one like was getting lost or doing something they shouldn't be because legally I was responsible for them. And then also just like hands-on learning to teach them to wrestle and so to do a skill. And where I'm trying to tie this back, so I learned all this stuff. I learned a lot about myself. I learned some soft skills, some hard skills, right? I had a lot of experiences. None of it super flashy, like mowing lawns, like not that great of a thing to put on the resume, right? So I finished high school. I do 2 years at Northern Virginia Community College, and then I transfer to Virginia Tech. And I get to Tech, so it's my junior year. I've missed freshman, sophomore year. I already feel super behind. So it's that fall, the first week, like first week of classes, teachers are talking about, you need to be getting an internship, like career fair is 3 weeks away. If you don't have an internship this summer, your life is ruined, all this stuff. And I was like, internship, what is an internship? And in that like first like 2-3 weeks, I go to some like mock career fair thing. I end up meeting like my guidance counselor for the business school. I end up meeting my dean, all these different professors, and have these conversations with them about like what is my past work experience. I tell them about mowing lawns, and I tell them about being a wrestling coach, and they're weirdly interested. And we have like great conversation. And it led to me being able to get involved immediately at the school with all this different stuff. So I was a management major, met the dean. He ends up like connecting with the management society, end up becoming like one of the leaders there, end up being able to work with the ambassador board for Pamplin. So all the like alumni that actually like shape what the College of Business does. Like I was a student representative there. All these things that really to me came out of nowhere. But it's cool to see like how God had been preparing me to take on these responsibilities and opening doors at Virginia Tech that I didn't even know existed. So that happened like right when I got to school, and I tried everything that I could for like career fairs and to get interviews for internships, but absolutely nothing happened. So fall 2012 had zero interviews and was pretty depressed, to be honest. That was also when I had really long hair, and that might have been part of the problem, but I don't know. That winter, over Christmas break, I went to a conference called the Passion Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's this huge event that they're doing in multiple locations across the states now. And I remember being at that event and one night just praying to God and be like, God, like I need your help here. I really need an internship. Nothing that I'm doing is working. And like, I would love your help. And specifically, like I want this. I want an internship that is close to home. I want an internship where I'm doing real work, like meaningful work, not just getting coffee, and I want to make at least $10,000. And I said, like, God, those are the things that I want. I said, if you are God, if you are all powerful and you really own this, then make it happen. So I cut my hair, I go back to school, and that spring, when most of the internships are gone, because everyone gets their interns in the fall, I go back in the spring and I have like 10 plus interviews that spring. It felt like a job, and it was like overwhelming just how much, like everyone I talked to was like, yeah, like let's bring you in for an interview. And ended up like going through the process with a lot of companies, went down to Charlotte and interviewed with Pepsi and Lay's, like their manufacturing company. Met with like, you know, like their, like I was in their like manufacturing like facilities, like where they make the chips, where they bag everything, they do the like soda, all that stuff. I had no idea what I was doing there. The other people interviewing were like industrial engineers, like that's what they did for their job. And I ended up getting the offer. It made no sense. And I looked at it and it was real work. It was meaningful. I would have been making almost $10,000. And the only problem with it was not close to home. And I was like, I was still floored. I was like, this is amazing. I didn't think I'd ever get this opportunity. Then I had one random interview with Capital One down in Richmond. And I go down there and they're like, pay for you to stay overnight and everything. And I get there and you meet some of the other candidates and you have three interviews that you have to go through. And the candidates are talking about like, oh, how do you guys feel for the case that we have, the business case we have to do? And I looked at them and I was like, business case, what are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, they sent out like this prep email so you could learn how to do a business case. And I was like, never got that. It's like, well, this is going to be a wash. Like, it's fun to be down here. I got a free night at a hotel, whatever, but like, I'm going to fail this. End up like having my first interview. The interviewer can't make it. Like, something comes up. So they throw somebody else in. We go through the interview, find out she's a believer. We just have like this amazing conversation. She's super welcoming. She's like, you're going to be fine. Like, don't worry about the case. Just like try and do these things while you're in it. Go into the case, like do well. End up like just enjoying my time, get back to school. And the next week I get the offer. And the offer is for just over $10,000. It's working in this development program, doing real work, and I have the option to work out at Tyson's, which is like right next door. And I was just floored, like, God, that is so amazing. Like, you, I could not have done this on my own, but just really cool to look back through this whole history of like work and personal experiences and just seeing how God connected the dots from pushing a lawnmower and serving ice cream to getting a job at Capital One and every door that he opened along the way there. So just really, really cool. And moving on, so I had that internship through the summer. It was a great experience. I got to work with the teams, the software development teams that were creating the first iPad app for Capital One. So they had an Android, they had an iPhone app, but they did not have one for iPad. So got to like work with them, learned a lot about technology. It was super fun. Left that experience, went back to school. That fall, I got the offer to come back to Capital One full-time. I was also considering doing this program called the Young Guns Program down in Denton, Texas, through a church down there and their pastor Tommy Nelson. And it's like a year-long discipleship development program. And so I was seriously considering it. And ended up talking to the pastor, and it was like the week that I needed to make a decision for either going to this program or going to work. And he said to me, he's like, it sounds like from everything that you've explained, God has clearly opened some doors for you in business. And if you have a passion for ministry, like that will always be an option. But it's going to be much harder for you to start in ministry and take time off away from school and having a job. And if you decide you don't like it or if it's not a good fit, it's going to be much harder to get back into the business world. So I encourage you, like, God's opening doors here. Go do it. I said, all right, I'm going to do it. So I accept the offer with Capital One. And I've been there for 5 years, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I've seen God work in those 5 years, and just the story that he's been weaving through that time there. So I accept the job. I start the role in 2014. I come into a program. It's a two-year program, so you do one role the first year, and then after that, you go to a different part of the company and do a different type of role. So my first role was as a risk manager at Capital One. You probably have no idea what that is, and that's okay because it's super boring. I was the youngest person on my team by like 12 years. It was the perfect job for people that were like in their late 30s, early 40s, had a family, wanted to work from home 4 out of 5 days a week. It wasn't a great job for a college new hire that wanted to meet people and like have a team that they're working with and all that stuff. So the job was kind of slow. I didn't have a ton of work. And that first orange dashed line is when I had the opportunity to do this like side project. And it was helping to sponsor something called a hackathon. So we, like all these technology people that had just been brought onto the company, so they're in the program called the Technology Development Program. They were like, hey, there's this event that like colleges are trying to do where students come together, like computer science majors, other students, and you just spend the weekend building something from scratch. It could be an app, it could be a website, it could be, you know, something with robotics. And they said, like, this is a great opportunity for Capital One to come and like do recruiting and change our brand and all that stuff. So I was like, I was asked if I wanted to help organize it. So I jump in there, like, yeah, like I'm bored, I don't have anything else to do. While I'm there, I meet this guy named Bori, who's in the TDP, and become good friends with him, and just make a lot of connections with all these tech people and start building this program around Capital One, sponsoring these events at college campuses. So we started that in 2014 with like 5 events, and since then, it's grown a ton. I'll come back to it, but met those guys, opened those doors. So then after my first year's done in this role, I have the opportunity to move into a second role. And so trying to find out like where I want to do, where I want to go, what I want to do. And I end up through like TDP people that I was working in hackathon stuff with, connecting with the teams that I used to work with on the iPad app when I was an intern. And it just so happened they were building like the next generation of iPad app.
What's TDP?
Sorry, TDP is Technology Development Program. And then I was in the MRP, which is Management Rotation Program. So like all the new college hires come into a program. So I connect with the team that I've been working with during my internship, end up getting a role with them. Get back into technology, was really excited about it. So that's like the second worst slash there is God opening the door through these relationships to get back to that role. So in that role, I'm a scrum master. It's like a project manager for technology. So you're working with the development teams. We specifically were building an app for iPad. But your role is all about like how can you help the team to operate more efficiently or like do like be more successful with their jobs. So a lot of like soft skill stuff. I enjoyed it, but thought it was like somewhat limiting and started becoming interested in another role that was called product management. A product manager, it's a newer like career field, but what you do there is you're the one that's like defining the business value for whatever you're building. So for the app, it's like, we have an app because it's servicing this need, or I think we need to build this feature where you can lock and unlock your credit card in the app because like customers need that functionality and it's going to make us this much money, whatever it might be. So God ends up opening a door. I'm running these three teams and I have a product manager, Venkat, and he has to go to India for a family emergency. And he's in India for like a month, and I get the opportunity to like support his role while he's gone and learn how to do this product role. And then when he comes back, because he was already spread really thin, I kept one of those teams and he kept the other two. And I just kept doing this product role, learning it, but not actually like being in the job. So do that for like close to 2 years. And then there's a big change in our company, and they shift where everyone is. And I have the opportunity to interview for a full-time product role. And so I go back through the interview process. Again, God blesses me with, I had to do like a business case, which I'm terrible at. And it ended up being very similar to like a case that I had studied beforehand. And it was just like, this is ridiculous. It was way easier than it should have been. So I get that role. And that's what I've been doing ever since. But just super cool to see how God had been preparing me, opening these doors, and then gave me the opportunity to take it. And so for the past 2 years, since 2017, I've been a product manager at Capital One, working specifically on our apps. So the iOS and Android app, I have development teams, and we build different features for the companies, and doing a lot like around credit card fraud and the ability to like do stuff. So I learned a lot about technology there. And then recently, like, we had a lot of people leave in over the past year. And so I quickly became the most tenured person like in that role and knew more than anybody else. And because of that, like, got these opportunities to for my current role to like report to a senior director and be on his leadership team and just be influencing the way that we're doing a lot of stuff and working with people that are much more experienced and older than I am. But God like kind of cleared the playing field and helped me to rise up there, which is just really cool to see. And so that's kind of like where my career started and is currently at. And it just, to me, it's been a story of God opening these doors that at the time I didn't understand what it was or what was happening, and preparing me in a way to step into something and do something that I didn't even know I wanted to do back then. And so where I've seen God working clearly in that, and I've just also seen God working in relationships specifically. So I mentioned, these are just some pictures from like work in general. Like, a lot of my time has just been working with tech teams and building these relationships. And so like in the top left, having the opportunity to like organize community events. So Capital One will throw a ton of money at doing stuff in the community and like using that to actually make a difference, which has been a lot of fun. Building relationships with these teams. These are some of my tech teams. In the bottom right, it's hard to see, but is this guy that when we launched the iPad app, we had a big like celebration and he tried to like open a champagne bottle and just exploded all over him. So he's soaking wet, but holding the bottle and just so happy. So just like over the past 5 years, building these deep relationships with people, outside of just the context of work, like being able to get to know them on a personal level and finding that over time, like they've come to rely on me on a friend as like someone that they can seek out for advice, and just being a constant for them. And specifically, this one guy down here, his name is Bori. So I mentioned him before with the hackathon stuff, the TDP. So I met him my first year. We set up this program together at the TDP, like sponsoring hackathons at different colleges and high schools. Like, we're at TJ. And this program grew from like five events with like, I don't know, a few thousand dollars to now we're doing 50 events a year and we have $500,000. And it's just, and it's still just like a side project. And so it's been cool to see like God's blessed our work there. And I've been able to spend a lot of time with Bori and two other guys named Mike and Corey. And none of them are believers in all those names. Yeah, Bori, Mike, Corey. So just building relationships with them. And over the past year, I've kind of like been able to go even deeper with them. And so this past fall, was invited to go on Bori's bachelor party as he's getting ready to go get married. And so we were in Tennessee, did a lot of hiking and ziplining and stuff. And on that trip, me, Mike, Bori, and Corey were all there. And as we were hiking, it was like a four-hour hike. And so we're just walking and talking about life. And we were talking about like work and like the meaning of work and the meaning of life, and just end up having all these really deep spiritual conversations, and end up being able to walk clearly through the gospel with them, And not seeing them like come to Christ, but having the opportunity to clearly just say, like, this is what I believe, this is what the gospel is, and knowing that I never would have had that opportunity if I hadn't spent the past 5 years building that relationship with them, spending time with them, caring about their personal life, and just seeing it all come together was super cool. And then that last picture on the right is us at his wedding, a traditional Nigerian wedding, which was just a ton of fun. So seeing God work specifically in relationships. The other relationship, which has been really unique, is the vice president that I report up through. So someone who's way higher than I am and makes a lot more money than I am. He's a super, super cool guy, like a super kind guy, a great leader, and is very open to like our department on the things that he's thinking about, what he's working through in life. And we had this all hands. He was talking about like how he was kind of reevaluating what was important in life and how his background had all been about like success after success and like trying to be considered. Like he came from a childhood where it was really poor and his mom walked out on him. And so like it's him and his dad and his sister, and they never had nice things. And he like hated going to school because he's always wearing hand-me-downs and had a rundown car in college, all this stuff. And so he was super, passionate about being successful and how he's now successful and he's there and he's like, now I'm reconsidering, is this all there is to life? And he was talking to us very candidly of how he's like, going back and like deciding like he needs to be spending more time with his family and he needs to be spending more time like with God and all these different things. I was like, man, that's so interesting that he just talked about like spending time with God, because it doesn't really happen at work, especially for like someone so high up in the company. Just with the culture that we live in today, you don't typically mix church and work. And so I ended up I had a meeting with him like months later, just 30 minutes. And I said, hey, Brian, I wanted to ask you a question from your last all hands. You had talked about like wanting to have like getting closer to God. And I just was curious what that meant to you. And he was shocked. He's like big eyes. It's just like, yeah, I'm glad you remembered that. And I think he was like scared, like, oh gosh, am I going to get in trouble for saying this? And so he starts talking about like God and like he thinks, you know, like there's been times where he's been closer to like a bigger thing and all this stuff, and it's really vague. And I'm trying to ask some more questions and like get specifics. And it becomes clear like he's not a believer. Like he gets it. Like he thinks there's like a higher power and like it's good to meditate and have time reflecting on that kind of stuff, but he's not a Christian. And so he ends up like, after I pepper him with a ton of questions, he's like, well, so like, what do you think about this? And just, I'm like, well, that's actually like a really big part of my life, and have the opportunity to share the gospel with my VP. And have like, I mean, it was like 30-second, 60-second like gospel presentation. And then like our meeting was almost done, but just awesome to explicitly like, you get it, like you're living such a good life, but you see that there's emptiness there, like this career is not fulfilling you, and you are looking for something more, not finding it, and I think like Jesus is that something more. So those are some of the ways that I've seen God working personally in my life, and just even in the role that I have, as we talked about earlier, like there's dignity in all work, and as I've had these different roles that are not always glamorous, not always making a lot of money, just being able to use them and be intentional in the work that I'm doing and caring around on the people around me has really like opened the door for God to work. And it's just been an awesome opportunity to be a part of that. So that is all that I have for today. I think I'm wrapping up a little bit earlier than I'm supposed to, but just want to leave you guys with some encouragement of, I know that there's like so much going on in the world around you, and there's a lot of pressure today just being students in Northern Virginia to be successful, to be in all the AP courses and be playing on 3 sports every year and doing all these extracurriculars. And like, I talk to high school students now that are looking for internships before they're even in college. And I know there's just all these factors coming, telling you need to be successful, but I just want you guys to be able to take a step back and say, work is more than just money. Work is more than just status. Work is my opportunity to live my best life, to do the things that I'm talented at, and to really just like do things that are serving God and serving the people around me. So again, just want to encourage you that there is hope down the road. And as you guys are considering what your future looks like, I hope you guys remember this and think back to it. So I appreciate you guys' time, and I'm going to hand it back over to Lee.